Hi, this is Chris, and this is the first audio cast for Bouse.net. Trying something a little bit different here. It's kind of a new take. I haven't done this before. I tried to record a podcast with my friend Chad West. It kind of went a little bit rough. I think we're still trying to get that down, so I thought I'd try one solo here. I just finished up my first post of the year of 2010 on my web blog. It's called Resolutions for 2010. Become a content production machine and do what is important. Now, those are pretty grandiose resolutions, I will say. You know, I do need to lose 15 pounds, so that's probably right up there as well. But, you know, everybody needs to lose 15 pounds this time of year, right? Just came through the holiday season, ate way too much chocolate, as Catherine, I'm sure, would account to. Yeah, I just want to kind of talk quickly about those two ideas and maybe a little bit more about what I've been thinking about Randy Pausch, and kind of the influence he has. I have to admit, I kind of got on board with the Randy Pausch thing a little bit late. He died in 2007, and he's famous for a lecture that he gave at Carnegie Mellon University called The Last Lecture. And it turned out to be one of his last lectures, probably the last significant lecture that he ever wrote. I would say The Last Lecture is definitely an important talk, and it's, you know, there's a lot of good lessons from life about it. But I think also what was almost more important, and is actually sort of what really made me become a fan of sort of Randy Pausch's work, was really this other talk that he did that I got turned on to because of The Last Lecture, is his talk on time management. And actually, it's kind of funny because there's two versions of the talk online, and they're done about 10 years apart. And it's pretty strange to see that the lecture is, you know, the outline of the lecture is almost identical. I mean, it goes 10 years apart and has almost not changed at all. And I guess that's a real the sign of a real professional lecturer, right? He keeps giving the same lecture for years and years and years. But this is kind of if you look at somebody like Randy Pausch, is super productive in his life and has accomplished things that not too many people, you know, will accomplish. I mean, one of his biggest accomplishment is some of the contributions he made to computer science and gaming curriculum and sort of the whole entertainment market, and sort of the combination of designers and software developers. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to think, because nowadays it's true, to do anything that's of significance, specifically in, you know, on the internet or something, you really need to have this combination of designers and programmers. So, you know, that contribution to the state of the art really was fairly significant. And I said in my web blog, and something to I found quite amazing, was two of his students, after they graduated from CMU, you know, his program there, they did this thing called this game called The World of Goo, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's a physics challenge game, or physics puzzler. The game itself really isn't that complicated. The game combined with the soundtrack and the production quality and the design is just amazing. The level of depth in this game is phenomenal, and it turns out it's really done by two guys. The design and the music score was all done by one guy, and then there was basically another guy who did most of the programming, it sounds like. And you just see, like, this is the kind of stuff that somebody like Randy Pausch was able to inspire. I mean, you know, and you look at that game, you're just like, how could two people possibly do this? I mean, the combination of skills you need to do that is unbelievable. It looks like a team of 50 people did it, quite frankly. So I think his contribution to the computer science world is non-trivial, quite frankly. But so the question is, well, how do you get to that level? How do you get to make a non-trivial contribution in life? And I think what it really gets down to, he's got this talk on time management, and I went through the talk a few times. I've watched it, and I actually made my team sit down and watch it with me a few weeks ago. I just think it's that important. But I think if you take the one takeaway of the whole thing, is you just have to do what's important and do it first, and always do what's important. And sometimes if you have other things that aren't important on your to-do list, just don't do them, right? Because if you end up spending your life doing things that are not very important, you're not really going to accomplish much. So I think if there's really just one takeaway from what Randy Posh really, I think, brought to the table as far as time management is, like, just do what's important. And if you get, you have to really do what's important. Like I always say, though, and I've talked about this at work a few times, this Randy Posh talk, and the thing that's really kind of frustrating is, like, and I feel like every time I watch his talk on time management, I think, Randy, you can't die now because you didn't tell us some, you know, what's the most valuable part was. How do you figure out what's important, right? I think his last lecture sort of is that talk. You know, but, you know, it's almost like you need, it almost needs to be more exploration of figuring out, well, how do I know what's important, and what are some of the criteria to figure out what's important to know what to do next. And I think that's really the hard part. And sometimes you think things are important that really, really just aren't. Or something, you do something important. What I have the problem is I'll do something that's fairly important. Like I mentioned this in my web blog, that recently I own this old Porsche 911, and I got to admit, sometimes I really regret buying this thing. It was kind of like one of these, you know, dreams that I had to get the sports car. And Catherine always said that in the spring I kind of get the sports car fever. And just one year I just impulsively just went out and looked at a couple cars and bought one. And, you know, a couple years ago, I ended up getting into some brake problems with this thing. This thing had kind of a weird aftermarket braking system in it, and, you know, it just wasn't trivial to get the thing back up and running. I mean, it wasn't like you use some stock part to fix it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this brake upgrade, and got all these parts, and I got into the thing. The thing just was, it was way beyond what I could do. I mean, it wasn't even close to what I could do. I mean, you have to have really specialized skills to do this brake upgrade that I wanted to do. So finally, I just got frustrated with it. I was like, oh, man, the amount of time and money things are going to take to get back on the road. And it sat there, and it sat there, and sat there. So I had this old car just collecting dust in the garage. You know, and I was going, and I put this on my to-do list. I got to get the Porsche out of the garage. So this is important. And the reason it's important really isn't because the car is important. It isn't. It's just a thing. And, you know, as Randy even says, you know, things are just things. They're not really that important in life. But what was important was it was every time I got home, it was like bringing me down a little bit. As I walk in the house, see the thing out in the garage, think, oh, man, I got to do something about that. And just was hanging over my head. And so it came up to the top of the to-do list. And I just said, all right, I'm just going to do it. I called around, got the car towed out of there, towed all the way down to the Bay Area, found a shop in the Bay Area to do the work. And I got to admit, once they got into the work down there, I thought it was going to be a lot of work. It turned out to be even more work than I initially thought. So I was doing something that was important, get this thing out of the garage so I could get it off my plate. But then where I kind of got sidetracked was once I started thinking about the Porsche, I started thinking about all the other things about the Porsche. What could I do? I started almost like obsessing about it. The suspension pan, is that rusting out, or does it need a valve job, or all these other issues. Well, who cares about all that stuff? It's just not that important. I mean, once the thing's back on the road, keep it back on the road. I don't make my living off of sports cars, right? This is just a toy. And if I start obsessing about this and not doing things that I actually can add real value with, then, you know, it's kind of one, right? And if you another way to look at it is, like, if I can do something that creates a lot of value, the problems of the Porsche will seem minuscule, right? You don't want to create more problems like that. Maybe in the future I'll think twice about buying something that's going to create more problems and take more of my time. I don't want my things to take all my time. But since I'm into it now, I need to put it on the back burner. Get the thing running, that's it, put it on the back burner. You know, and I think that's kind of what Randy, I think, probably was really good in his life. Let's say, okay, I need to get this thing off my plate, get it done, and just move on to the next thing. So that's kind of like important resolution for next year. Is like, how do I figure out what's important and just do it? The other thing I was gonna say here is kind of like this idea of doing more content production, even stuff like I'm doing right now, just talking and recording a kind of a podcast. I think this is gonna be really big. I think this is something to think about. Is like, how to optimize the ability to create and distribute content. I mean, it already is happening with, like, things like YouTube and Facebook and Flickr. Everybody's got, you know, creating their own content and getting out there. But I think there's something to be said about optimizing the, you know, it's kind of like, we'll do what's important, but you also have to do it fast. Like, if you're taking a long time to create content, like a weblog entry takes you all day. Like, sometimes it can take me hours. I'm a very slow writer to, you know, write and edit a weblog entry. But I need to get that down, right, to a smaller amount of time. And so I'm just basically producing content all the time, and have a ton of ideas about the type of content I want to produce. I got way more ideas than time. So to get those ideas out there, I really have to optimize, you know, the process of creating content. And if you look at, I actually went to the Business of Software. I don't want to talk too much about it today, but Dharmesh from onstartups.com, I think he probably says it about the best. He calls this whole thing kind of – the reason why creating content is important is it's kind of the future of marketing. Marketing used to be like, well, I go out there, you pay some ads or something and hope people come to you. But nowadays, marketing is really going to be done in such a way that you're going to create content that people want to listen to and want to read, and or, you know, basically are interested in, whether or not it's a how-to or some kind of, you know, advice or whatever it is. People want to read, or maybe reviews, and that's how you're going to pull people into to your site and market to them and possibly sell them new products. And I really believe that's true. I mean, people are just overwhelmed with what, you know, traditional advertising. There's some good stuff out there, like the new Apple ads, but there's just so much out there, you basically ignore it. So really the only way to win is to create at least the marketing game, I think, in the future. And I think it's getting bigger and bigger, is to be a content producer and to create content that people want, get it indexed, get people coming to your site. And then when you have a reputation about the content that you're creating, then you're able to sell them whatever your product is, you know, whether it's a software or whatever it is. You need to have some kind of, you know, a content. And I totally believe in that too, is and even the community of your users. I'll probably talk about some of the products I'm interested in some other time, but so that's kind of my two goals for 2010, on top of losing 15 pounds, which who knows if I'll ever get there. One is do what's important, and do it. What's important is sort of the Randy Posh way. I mean, what's really important, and then don't do the things that aren't important, and try to stick to that. That's really, really hard to do. That's probably one of the hardest things in life to do. And then two is increase the content production. This is one example of it right here. And I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I still think we're at the early part of this curve of this whole mass content production, especially if you're starting to look at video and all that stuff. And we're at the very beginning of all that. I think there's going to be huge advancements to be made. I mean, we've already seen it with blogging and writing, but I think it's going to continue. And I think the people that are able to create good content and get people coming into their sites and create a reputation around their content are going to be the winners on the internet the next 10 years. So that's about it. Just want to keep it short. And so that's my first podcast. And hopefully we'll do more of this. And hopefully also spend a little bit more time working with Chad, and we'll do a little bit more interactive, multiple people discussion in the future. So that's it. And I'll talk to you soon.